बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
Thinking to save the state from irregularity, the sages began to consider that it was due to a political crisis that they made Vena king, although he was not qualified. But alas, now the people were being disturbed by the king himself. Under such circumstances, how could the people be happy?
Purpose is the purport. The brahmacharis must perform sacrifices, grihasthas must give charity, and those in renounced order must practice austerity. And this fellow wanted to stop all of them. All these functions. At that time, the sages became very concerned. See the 10th verse. Aheriva paya poshaha poshakasyapyanarthabhrit vena prakrityaiva kalaha sunitha garbha sambhavaha.
The sages began to think within themselves, because he was born from the womb of Sunita, King Vena is by nature very mischievous. Supporting this mischievous king is exactly like maintaining a snake with milk.
Ahiriva payaha poshaha. See, ahiriva is there in the shloka itself. Yes.
Now he has become a source of all difficulties.
Purport?
Saintly persons are generally aloof from social activities and the materialistic way of life. King Vena was supported by the saintly persons just to protect the citizens from the hands of rogues and thieves. But after his ascendance to the throne, he became a source of trouble to the sages. Saintly people are especially interested in performing sacrifices and austerities for the advancement of spiritual life. But Vena, instead of being obliged because of the saints' mercy, turned out to be their enemy because he prohibited them from executing their ordinary duties. A serpent who is maintained with milk and bananas simply stores poison in his teeth and awaits the day to bite his master.
See, the king is appointed by the brahmanas to benefit the world by acting as a representative of the Lord. Either the king should do good to the world if he is skilled, talented, which we will see about Prithu Maharaj later. What all Prithu Maharaj does to the world. And if he cannot do, then he should only focus on one activity, what he is good at. For example, what is Vena good at? Stopping the rogues and thieves, correct? And for the rest of it, you should empower the brahmanas to take care of the rest of the departments. This department I will take care of, because I am expert at this. And then rest of it, you tell the brahmanas, other departments I am unaware, I am foolish, I am not very learned. So you all decide, you know, how should the rest of the things be done. And then you will find the world will run very beautifully. Because he does his part and others do their part. So why I am telling you this, there is a tendency in anyone given leadership position to micromanage every department. Although one may not be knowledgeable about all the departments. You will see that every one of us sitting here, we all have differently talented. And so when I originally got the President's Manual book in those days, so it was written there very nicely in the beginning. There are two types of presidents, it was written. One president is a person who goes out, meets people, makes life numbers, brings money and runs the temple and makes a brahmachari ashrama, which is run by one leader brahmachari. So then he is a kshatriya or vaishya type of president. Another president, he said, is he leads the preaching, he is taking care of the brahmachari ashrama, and then he identifies people who can bring money and bring life numbers and then keep the temple running. So this is the second model. Yes, sir. So I thought, which one I will fit? I will fit in second one, very easily. So because I am interested in brahmachari ashram, preaching, and then preaching expansion in congregation and all these things. So when I read that manual in the very early days only, I decided I will suit more in this. And we don't have to put our head too much in another department. Like you will see many departments actually will run as if automatically, provided we don't unnecessarily put our hand in them. For one example, I'll tell you, say Balagavan Prabhu is running our cultural department. Very beautifully is running. So many grihasthas are connected. Santrika, you know, Sanskar, Sanskrit and Sanskriti, correct? So actually many times in leadership role, you just have to nod your head and give a pat on the back, that's all. And do your own specialization and rest of the departments you encourage. But there is a tendency in a leader that he feels, I have to have my chop there. What do you call it? My stamp there. That because I am a leader, you come, what are you doing? Okay, don't do this, do this. Modify. Of course, if we can modify something very positive, it would be very good. But there is a tendency to want to manage everyone and everything, which is impossible actually in this. Even the kings, for example, Yudhishthira Maharaj, how he ruled the world, if you see, he is not ruling the entire world. He divides and gives different brothers rule different parts of the world. And then below them, there are hundreds and thousands of kings like that. You will see that. So, the king's duty is to oversee that everything is happening according to Lord's will. That's the most important thing. As Brahmanas have taught him. The Brahmanas are very intelligent and they are saintly and they are detached and they are always focused in spiritual values. So, the duty of the king is to make sure that whatever the Brahmanas want to see in the world happening, he actually uses his Kshatriya power to enforce those rules, what the Brahmanas want to see happen in this world. So, here Vena was good at one thing only, which is the purpose of his put in the throne is what? To make sure the thieves and rogues will be under control. And rest of the things, if he doesn't know, because he was not a very religious boy right from childhood, he was killing other children and all that. So he doesn't know, at least he could have let the Brahmanas take lead and do the things in the world, correct? No? But what he did, he put his akshep objection in his hand, na yashtavyam, na datavyam, na hotavyam, dvija kvachit, he said, no? Bheri goshena, like that he says, play bheri and stop all these activities, as if he knows. So you will find in the next few verses when Vena, what kind of mentality he has. So therefore Prabhupada says here that Vena was not actually thankful to the saints for giving him the position, but he prohibited them from executing their even ordinary duties. One very surprising thing, many demons who have appeared in this world at different times, their natures are very similar. Like you find Kamsa, he also prohibited yajna to be performed. Correct, no? He did not allow. And another famous activity of demons is to kill a lot of people. Like you find our Hitler killed 10 million people. Kamsa also killed a lot of children, sending putana. Correct, no? You find like that. Similarly, Vena was killing even in childhood also. If somebody would fight with him, he would not just slap them or beat them, but kill them only. Like that you find. So, similarly, you find Hiranyakashipu is telling his servants, while I am away to the forest for performing penance, you all engage in our welfare activity. What is demon's welfare activity? Break the gopurams, destroy the bridges, cut down the pious trees like the orange tree, jackfruit tree, mango tree and all that. But never cut the babul trees. Let the world become filled with thorny trees. And go to the hermitages of Brahmanas, set fire to them. Kill the cows. If anywhere Brahmanas are doing yajna, stop them. So you find whatever Hiranyakashipu told his assistants to do, after the assistants heard, they were all very happy. Taking the instruction of their demoniac master on their head, they went and executed all over the world. So what Hiranyakashipu is trying to do, what Kamsa is doing, similar thing Vena is doing also here. You can see that. And Prabhupada also in one of the purports comments that modern day educationists are also doing it. They are trying to stop the teachings of the Vedic literature as religious propaganda. So they made a secular government so that we will not be able to reach the message to people. So nowadays even there are some schools opposing even values also, because they think if you teach values to children, they'll become too much truthful, honest and everything. They can't do bribery, they can't collect under the money table, and they can't survive the modern day cutthroat competition. So they say that let children, if you want to teach values, teach them to be courageous, teach them to be aggressive, teach them how to be duplicitous and exploit and learn politics and economic development. Such kind of things, like what our Sandam recovery teaching. That's what parents and schools say, you teach your children. Therefore, if you give a seminar on building confidence, big crowd will come. You know, building confidence, how to, you know, win others, how to climb on others' heads, how to have two horns, then people will come. Isn't it? So, they like demoniac teachings and culture. So, here we find, therefore it is written there, Aheriva Payah Poshaha. So, yeah, irresponsible and irreligious king is no less than a poisonous serpent. Actually, why the Brahmana is considered like this, him as a poisonous serpent? Because, see, if one of the members of the Praja is doing some irreligious activity, that is not so bad. Why? Because their ability to influence others is very limited, isn't it? But somebody at the top, as a king of the world, so like you say, Yatha Raja, tomorrow people will imitate. Therefore, all of us, you know, in our life also, if you are playing some kind of leadership role, even if you are a leader of 10 people or 20 people or 50 people, 100 people, so our movements, our activities, our speeches, they are ultra important because the whole world is watching. Nowadays, we are staying in the age of mobiles and cameras. You are always under surveillance. What you speak, how you, where you, whom you go to meet and what you do. Recently, I went to meet one, His Holiness, Chinnajji or Swami Maharaj, along with Radha Prabhupada and me met. But when I came back to Pune, people said, oh, we already know it. They said, how? The photo of Chinnajji Swami meeting him is virally spreading. Many people are sending. Of course, there is nothing wrong with that because he is a Sri Vaishnava, he is a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and people will be happy to know Gaudiya Vaishnava and Sri Vaishnavas are meeting. It's very nice only. We are appreciating Ramanuja's 1000th year. Therefore, why I am saying, so we have to be careful whom we are meeting. One time this Brahma Kumaris, some white sari wearing sisters, two sisters came. You know, they brought their picture. At that time, Parampuja Gopakrishna Maharaj was there. So they were trying to give it to Maharaj. And Maharaj looked at them and turned away. He did not take it. So I was thinking that we should be a little sensitively, we'll deal with them. So I went to receive. Maharaj said, okay, Rajasham, if you want, you take it. But I don't want to take it, he said. Later when I went to Maharaj room, Maharaj said, I didn't take it because they were trying to click a photo with me. Therefore, I didn't take it, Maharaj said. And then Maharaj said, they will use this photo to tell their followers that we are very close friends with ISKCON. So you can come to our activities also. Like that they will say. They will show these activities. Correct, no? Therefore, we cannot associate with anybody. We have to be very watchful, careful. So because those who are playing the role of leaders, therefore, Vena is playing a role of a leader. Now, if he says yajna should not be done, na yashtavyam, na hotavyam, na datavyam, then Praja will say, king has, just like our Indian Prime Minister, you know, he's one of his top priorities is Swachh Bharat, correct, no? Now, you go in the trains, what clean trains nowadays? You've seen the platforms, how clean they are? How many of you recently found the platforms are very clean? Correct? This kind of level of cleanliness I have never seen in India before. Now they keep on cleaning. You observed it? You didn't observe. I said, you didn't travel much. Okay. So we are traveling frequently. So observe, it's ultra clean. And the platform is so clean, you can sit down directly on the ground. Yeah, they are keeping so clean. Earlier people used to spit like this everywhere. Now if you spit, there is fine also now. You know that? If you spit in one place, 50 rupees you have to pay immediately. They are fining people now, if you spit. So people are very afraid, they are holding in the mouth only. Yeah, if you see a dustbin, you can spit. So why I am saying, because one man at the top is reinforcing that, Swachh Bharat, correct, no? Then people below and all over, because money may be spent for this, and there are pictures put up everywhere, how to be clean and everything. in the train, in the station, everywhere. So similarly, if this fellow is saying no yajna, and down the line everywhere he will put posters, no yajna here, no yajna there, everywhere. So therefore, because this fellow has a power to, you understand how we can influence the people below, correct? No, from top to bottom, from the top of the cone to the bottom of the cone, everybody will be influenced by that. Therefore, the brahmanas are saying ahereva paya poshaha. This fellow is exactly like a snake, because you know, a snake, if you feed milk and banana to a snake, it will become stout and its poison will grow. This fellow will say, is setting a bad example for all the praja below. So they're very angry with that. And then read the 11th one, translation.
We appointed this Vena king of the state in order to give protection to the citizens. But now he has become the enemy of the citizens. Despite all these discrepancies, we should at once try to pacify him. By doing so, we may not be touched by the sinful results caused by him.
See, one amazing phenomenon you will see, the brahmanas are very thoughtful fellows. They are not saying, because the king is saying no yajna, kill him immediately. They didn't say like that. What are they saying? Pacify him. That means, you know, they always give a benefit of doubt. They never consider anybody incorrigible. Sometimes our mind works like one or zero. It works like, you know, oh, he is like this, finished, he is good for nothing. You declare, either one, he can do this, otherwise the other possibility is what? Zero only, and nothing in between. So you will see brahmanas are thinking, okay, he is irreligious, he is impious, he is stopping all these things. Okay, we will give him a try. We will go to him, meet him, we will pacify him. Maybe by our preaching, his mind may change. So they are giving a benefit of doubt in this verse. Go to the next one.
The saintly sages continued thinking, of course, we are completely aware of his mischievous nature. Yet nevertheless, we enthroned Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public and we will join them. Thus, by our prowess, we shall burn him to ashes.
So, either we persuade the king and he accepts our advice, then he will flourish. Otherwise, he will perish. So, read the purport.
Saintly persons are not interested in political matters. Yet, they are always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. Consequently, they sometimes have to come down to the political field and take steps to correct the misguided government or royalty.
Uttar Pradesh's CM will be happy to see this statement. Correct, na? Because he is not only giving suggestions to the government, but he took up a post itself. Yeah, yes.
However, in Kali Yuga, saintly persons are not as powerful as they previously were. They used to be able to burn any sinful man to ashes by virtue of their spiritual prowess. Now, saintly persons have no such power due to the influence of the age of Kali.
Yeah, you know, one rishi was performing penance in a river. You know, he took his hand in the water. I mean, he took some water in the Ganga. Like we offer water back to Ganga, no? You take water and you offer. Like that, he picked up some water and closing the eyes, chanted some mantra. But one crane passed stool from the top. It fell in the hand. He saw the stool falling. He became very angry. He looked at the crane. In a moment, it got roasted completely. And powder of the crane, it became turned into powder, ashes. It fell down. So this story comes in a Purana. How powerful this tapasvi was. His tapavalam was very powerful. And the story goes, when he came, he saw one housewife who was serving. And then she made him wait for some half an hour. Then she came out and said, and this fellow stared at her. How dare you made me wait for half an hour? So she asked him, Kokkandani naitayo konganava. She's asking, do you think I am like that crane whom you burnt by looking at it? She said, I was faithfully serving my husband and family members. Therefore, I got delayed. Take this arms, she gave. So that basically, this Puranic story tells about how if some woman faithfully serves her husband, or how if some man faithfully serves his parents, you know, they also get some tapabalam by that. They also get some shakti. But the point is, in this story, that fellow simply by seeing at the crane, he could burn it down. Correct, no? By the tapasya. So, this type of things are also mentioned. Yeah. But Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga we all have fragile bodies and weak tapasya. You have no power to burn down such sinful people like Vena is saying. Yes?
Now saintly persons have no such power due to the influence of the age of Kali. Indeed, the Brahmanas do not even have the power to perform sacrifices in which animals are put into a fire to attain a new life.
See, if you carefully read Prabhupada's purports, you will see that there are two types of deficiencies, he's saying. One deficiency is of the Brahmanas, another deficiency is of the age itself. Because the age also has its influence, degrading influence. If you see the Satya Yuga, there are many qualities. Shantaha, Nirvairaha, Samaha, like that, many qualities are said. Then Treta Yuga, they are called as Brahma Vajinaha and Dharmishtaha. Dharmishtan Brahma Vajinaha in Treta Yuga. And then later on in Dwapara Yuga, they are called Jignyasavaha. And Kali Yuga, it's very rare to find any good quality in Kali Yuga. So, in general, the ambience of Kali Yuga itself is polluted with the religious activity. So, the age also has its deficiencies. And the individuals, Brahmanas, because they have not increased their purity from regular sanskaras and everything. So, therefore, Prabhupada is saying about both. Go ahead.
Under these circumstances, instead of actively taking part in politics, saintly persons should engage in chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the general populace can derive all benefits without political implications.
There are no political implications. So, sometimes our young boys, after seeing the country situation, they get a vigor. They say, Prabhu, I'm thinking of entering into politics. I'll become an MLA or MP. Or I'll become a CM. One boy even asked me, Prabhuji, can I try to become a PM of India? You know, I will begin with MP and become PM. That he was telling. So, I was also laughing, but he said, Prabhu, my uncle is MP, he was telling. So, I am also thinking I will enter that field. I said, see, you are becoming MP, PM should not be the only goal. What you will do after becoming one? That is very important. Because after you become PM of the country and you forget all this. So, the most important thing is how you will conduct yourself as a PM. What can you transmit all this wonderful wisdom to the people? So, that is most important. Whether you become IAS officer or not. Correct, no? So, the question is asked here. Read the theme.
Are saints interested in political matters?
Yes or no? The answer is yes and no. Why it is yes and no? Yes, they are interested, provided their inputs can be used in changing the political situation in a way favorable for the Krishna conscious propagation. Then the answer is yes. And they are not, no. The answer no is when is to be given? When they find that this political field is very dirty. Like one conversation of Prabhupada I heard, he said, don't try to make politicians into devotees. They are already in the ditch. They will not come out easily. But try to engage them in such a way that they will be able to do good for the world in their own position. If you try to make them 16 rounders and try to make them into, that's very difficult, Prabhupada says. But they may be able to support the activities. Like there is some kind of cultivation going on in ISKCON of different politicians. They will remain where they are and they may do some little good here and there by their word of mouth or by some government money. They may be able to do some good like that. So, on the other hand, we should not be very desirous of entering into politics, because politics, if you enter into politics, tomorrow you will see somebody will tell you, if you don't permit cow killing, we will finish you. That kind of problems come in the government, because general mass of people want to be religious and you want to institute something very powerful, some good thing, they may not allow you to do that because crores and crores of people are involved, correct, no?
Yeah.
Therefore, as devotees, if we simply keep doing the good activities of Harinam Sankirtan, chanting, prasadam distribution, preaching, gradually increase the size of the activities in different cities all over India, gradually we will become noticed all over the country, and then we will get a bigger support from the government. All that will happen, like the Prabhupada is saying. Yeah, let's go to 13th one. Yes.
The great sages, having thus decided, approached King Vena. Concealing their real anger, they pacified him with sweet words and then spoke as follows.
Yeah. Actually, whenever someone is acting foolishly, one should know how to cool down that person, foolish person. Prabhupada says, somebody may have a lot of, you know, money in his pocket. But if you want him to use that money in Krishna's service, you may have to praise him. You may have to appreciate him. You may have to congratulate him. Correct, no? You have to speak in such a way that he will be able to engage that wealth in Krishna's service. But if you tell him that, hey, you look like a fool if you tell him, please give your money for Krishna's service, don't waste it. Don't waste your money for sense gratification, use it in Krishna's service, don't be a fool. Will he give? He will not give. So Prabhupada says, one should know the knack of dealing with different types of people, he says. So, because if they talk in a certain type of manner, then there will be positive rectification without shouts or fights. Correct, no? Because right now they are polarized. Vena is totally religious, Brahmanas are fully religious. Vena is anti-Vishnu, Brahmanas are pro-Vishnu. Correct, no? And Vena wants them to stop all yajna, Brahmanas want all the yajna. So when two polarized people meet, you know, one is wise, one is fool. So how should the wise deal with the fool? That we learn in this section. It's very, very important. Because many times you have to convince foolish people to take to Krishna consciousness. So we have something valuable to give to them. So we should know the art of reaching that, you know, valuable gift to them. Therefore, I went with Parampuja Gopalakrishna Maharaj in Pune. He took me in his car to one house. So the servant opened that gate and our car went in. And then he took us inside. So when we went and sat on the sofa, the owner of the house came. Before the Maharaj told me, this fellow is a crorepati. Thousands and thousands of crores he has. A very rich fellow. And then his name was Jolly. Maharaj asked him, Mr. Jolly, how is everything with you? He said, Maharaj, I am very happy. And every business is going well. My son has settled abroad and my daughter just now got married last month. Everything is going wonderfully, Maharaj. And then Maharaj told, see, you are jolly because of Krishna's grace. So in your jollity, you should not forget Krishna. He told him, yes, yes, Maharaj, I remember. Now that you have come, I remember all the more. And Maharaj said, if you agree that Krishna is keeping you happy, then you have to spend some money in Krishna's service also. So directly preached to him. Very wonderfully. But how Maharaj started was very amazing to see. He said, Mr. Jolly, how are you? He said, I'm very happy. Maharaj said, yes, you are jolly because Krishna is showering his grace on you. Like that he said. So, in this way, when Maharaj went to our Malhotraji's house also, he asked about the health of Malhotraji's mother and Malhotra's health also. And then, he would gradually bring the subject of how we are building this temple and how, you know, you were involved right from the beginning and you should involve now also in Krishna's activity. So, great people, Vaishnavas, know how to get the message across to people without making them look like a fool. Even if the other person is foolish, you should not tell him you are a fool. If you tell him you are a fool, the job is finished. Correct, no? Therefore, they knew that he is a fool, but they didn't tell him you are a fool. See how nicely they will talk to him. You will see in the following verses. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes in that famous verse, anybody knows? Dante Trinaya. Dante, there is one verse which talks about, you know, if you have to preach to very educated fools, he says that you should have a straw in your teeth and you should go and offer obeisances to them, correct? Obeisance to the person. And what you should say, my dear sir? Please give up all your foolishness, you know, of all the nonsense that people have put on you, and accept shelter of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu or something. Anybody knows that verse? Please give the mic to him. Dante Trina. Please tell the verse and the meaning also.
Dante Nritayat Tinakam. పదయోర్ నిపత్య కకుశతం కృత్వాచ చైతన్య చరణ్ చంద్ర చరణం కురుతనుకరం.
కురుత అనురాగ. Tell the meaning of that.
The meaning is that Dante Nudayatanakam, keeping straw in the mouth and approaching the foolish person and saying that, sir, whatever you have, you are so glorious of your qualities and other things, kindly accept this message.
Yeah. And then what is the last? Kuruta Anuragava, is it?
Yeah,
please accept this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think. Correct, yeah. So, thank you for that verse, beautiful verse it is. Similarly, here also the sages are humbly approaching him. They are concealing their anger and speaking to him with sweet words, with a smiling face. So you have to smile with your face, and your words have to be sweet, and you have to conceal your anger. This is the art of pacifying fool. Let us read the 14th verse. Munayavu chuhu nripavarya nibodaitat యత్తే విజ్ఞాపయామ భోహో ఆయుశ్రీ బల కీర్తినాం తవ తాత్త వివర్ధనం.
The great sages said, dear king, we have come to give you good advice. Kindly hear us with great attention. By doing so, your duration of life and your opulence, strength and reputation will increase.
See, they are saying that your ayu will increase. Ayu, shri, your opulence will increase. Bala, strength. Kirti, your reputation will increase. Because these are things which in this world we all want to accumulate. Correct, no? People want to accumulate more and more opulences and strength and reputation. Ayu, shri, bala, kirti. They will all vivardhanam. And they are using the word tata. Tata means, oh dear son, oh dear king. So very lovingly address him, so that they will be able to help him get rid of his naughtiness. They don't want to show themselves as his enemy. Or you can say they don't want to show themselves as having an opinion opposite to his. But they want to gradually broach the subject of how the king should change his behavior. Read the purport, very important purport.
According to Vedic civilization, in a monarchy, the king is advised by saintly persons and sages. By taking their advice, he can become the greatest executive power, and everyone in his kingdom will be happy, peaceful and prosperous. The great kings were very responsible in taking the instructions given by the great saintly personalities. The kings used to accept the instructions given by great sages like Parashara, Vyasadeva, Narada, Devala and Asita. In other words, they would first accept the authority of saintly persons and then execute their monarchical power.
This is the theme I have written there. See the theme?
First, accept authority of saintly persons before executing monarchical power.
That means, say, if you are given some department to run, we are not autonomous in running the department. We are actually a community. And the department is existing for the welfare of the community, for the devotees of the community. So the department head, he first thing you should know is, I am not autonomous. In our temple, the department is under COM. And COM is under BPB, TP, GBC, all of them. Correct, no? So, there has to be a vision which comes from the top, and combined with the individual's creative, innovative ideas on how to execute that instruction, and ultimately for the welfare of all the people who are beneficiaries from that service. You understand, no? Therefore, here he is saying, first accept the authority of the saintly persons before executing monarchical power, he is saying. So, vision comes first or action comes first? Vision first, action next. So, it's not that the opposite. You do the action and do some damage, then vision has to come after that. Correct, no? Similarly, the king also, like the king Vena, actually, the Brahmanas are actually saintly people who know how to make the world happy in Krishna consciousness. But this fellow has not taken any of their advice. He's acting independently. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport here, Prabhupada says, in the they would first accept the authority of saintly persons and then execute their monarchical power. Can anybody give an example? A monarch wanted to do something, but it was objected by saintly persons, so he gave it up. Yes, there's a hand up. Who? Shivaji Maharaj wanted to do what? He is saying Shivaji Maharaj met Tukaram and he expressed his desire to become a monk by giving up his kingship. And Tukaram objected. He said, you should serve the people by being a Kshatriya. That is your duty, he said. And then he accepted. So this is a good example of how sometimes the king may want to do something on his own, but he may be objected by the saintly people and then he may oblige to the saintly people's order. Yes, one more example, anybody? Where is the mic?
Yadavas wanted to attack and kill Jarasandha, but after the advice of Uddhava, they changed the plan.
Correct. That is right. Thank you. Pradabdra wanted to? Mike.
No,
Mike. Only you and me, we are not speaking alone. You have to, everybody has to hear. Mike.
King want to leave his own kingdom.
Which king?
Prataprudra.
Yeah, wanted to leave?
His own kingdom, not to have association of Mahaprabhu.
So who said no, you cannot leave?
Gopinath Acharya.
Okay. Gopinath Acharya or Bhattacharya told him?
Bhattacharya.
Okay, they told him not to leave the kingdom. Okay. That is similar example like the Shivaji Maharaj one. Yes? Correct. Dhruva is killing Yakshas. He is being advised by Swayambhu Manu and Kubera not to pursue and then he is giving up. Yes? Janamejaya is a similar example. Yes?
Prithu Maharaj wanted to punish Indra.
Brahma is coming and saying, don't do it, and he's stopping it. So we have innumerable examples in Shastra. How the king wants to do something, and he is not independent, he is not autonomous. So he has to get the vision first, and then only action. So he cannot do what he wants. Although he is the monarchical power of the whole world, everything is in his grip. But he is not autonomous. Do you think the Brahmanas are autonomous who are giving him advice? Are they independent? They are completely obliged to the Shastra. Do you think the Shastras are independent? Who gives Shastra? Dharmam to Sakshat? Bhagavat Pranita. So ultimately, Bhagavan is the only Swarat, supremely independent. Nobody else is independent. That is the point. Yeah. Therefore, we have written, first accept the authority of saintly persons. Like the children accept the authority of mother, mother accepts authority of the husband and the father, and then the father accepts the authority of guru, and guru accepts the authority of Shastra. Shastras are under Krishna ultimately, like that. That was the main point. Read further and complete it. Fortunately, in the present age of Kali, the head of the government, the head of the government does not follow the instructions given by saintly persons. Therefore, neither the citizens nor the men of the government are very happy. Their duration of ayu is reduced. Everyone is wretched, bereft of bodily strength and spiritual power. If citizens want to be happy and prosperous in this democratic age, they should not elect rascals and fools who have no respect for saintly persons. At least Prabhupada is giving a clue how to vote. Vote for people who have respect for saintly order. So that is the point. There was one president of Iran. I had a PPT. You will be shocked. This fellow, as soon as he occupied the president's post, the first thing he went to the mosque and met the Muslim Swamiji. What do you call him? Mullah. Mullah, the top mullah, very top person, and he took advice on what are his duties and everything. Another thing he did was he took out all the comfortable rugs and the furniture and everything in his office and gave it all away to the mosque. He gave it all away. And if you see, there are 10-12 items mentioned about him. I have an article, I'll search it later on. I'll give you. So one thing becomes clear, there are still politicians and leaders who honestly believe that the country should be run, guided by the saintly people. See, saintly people have nothing to give and take with the material world to exploit the material world. They only want to see the people happy. Correct, no? Their connection is more with God. But saints act as a powerful interface between God and this world. They can act as a powerful interface. They can take God's will and give it in a way palatable to the common people. So our Radha Gopinath Prabhu used to say, the Vaishnava saints are like step-down transformer, he used to say. Krishna is like 10,000 volt. And the saints can take 10,000 volt Krishna and understand him and give it in a way the world, like step-down transformer, you have seen 200 volts. You can run small things. So they can act as a powerful interface. But without that kind of saintly people, then people think, oh, God is 10,000 volts, I can't approach him, so they leave it. And then the whole world is submerged in misery. Correct, no? Therefore, accept the other saintly people and then execute monarchical power. Okay, let's go to the next one. Yeah. Dharma acharati pumsam. Vang manakaya buddhi bihi. Lokan vishokan vitarati. Atanantyam asanginam.
Those who live according to religious principles and who follow them by words, mind, body and intelligence are elevated to the heavenly kingdom, which is devoid of all miseries. Being thus rid of material influence, they achieve unlimited happiness in life.
Yeah. See, read the purport first line.
The saintly sages herein instruct that the king or head of government should set an example by living a religious life.
Yeah. And in the fourth line, Prabhupada is saying, one should not simply
make a show of religious life, but should perform devotional service perfectly with words, mind, body and good intelligence.
Yeah. Sometimes the politicians like to go for religious gatherings because they know one thing. Religious gathering is a place where there's a tremendous faith, you know, of people in some Swamiji or in some temple. Yeah, you know, it's a community. All the hearts of the religious people are tied together with faith on one great person. So sometimes they don't mind coming for such religious gathering, politicians. But the goal is to stand with the Swamiji and click a photo and go back. Yeah? Or sometimes they just come for some inaugural function, just click a photo and go back. So it is more like, say that so-and-so party, you know, came and went. So they think maybe these people will vote for us. Correct, no? So there are some ulterior political motives in politicians coming for such public gatherings, I mean religious gatherings. So they want to use the religious faith to get political votes. Therefore, Prabhupada is writing here, one should not simply make a show of religious life, he is saying. The king or head of the government, sometimes a man goes to a slum, you know, and he is giving some clothes to somebody and then looking, click, click, you know, so many photos of what you call this, staff reporters, and it comes the next day paper, you know, such and such big leader came to the slum, correct, no? So sometimes they may give, you know, just a handful of clothes, and but the propaganda becomes too big. You see, no? Like one time they said some minister, somebody is planting, you know, he's planting some this thing somewhere, tree somewhere. So they planted something like 10 or 20 plants. For that they published in so many places, correct, no? Make a very big. So outside people I have seen, they do little but publicize a lot. How many of you noticed it? Correct, no? Yeah. In ISKCON we do a lot and we don't know how to publicize only. Many times our own devotees don't know who is doing what also. You see, how many of you felt this? Correct. So Revati Prabhu came up with one idea of each department putting up a presentation on what they are doing, and other people are all with open mouth. Oh, really? Is it happening in our temple? He told, yes, our temple only. So many times we don't even know what's happening within our temple also. So Prabhupada therefore saying that the politician should not simply make a show of religious life, but they should perform devotional service with body, mind and words, he's saying. And the last line, Prabhupada saying, the instructions given, read that.
The instructions given herein serve as a summary of how the head of government should execute his ruling power and thus attain happiness not only in this life but also in the life after death.
See, how kind are the sages? They are telling him, In this world, you can get Ayuhu, you can get Shri, you can get Yash. In the previous verse, they said Bala, Balam, Kirti, all that you can get. And after death, you can go to heaven. And you can be happy, your Praja will be happy. Very nicely they are explaining. Read the next one, 16.
The sages continued. Oh, great hero.
Here I have written the theme.
Happiness now and in future depends on following dharma.
Actually, if you don't follow dharma, even if you are a billionaire, you cannot be happy. This we should be convinced. When Prabhupada went to America, he saw that there is no dearth of dollar notes there. People have posh houses and broad roads and big vehicles and everything. Prabhupada said, why are they committing suicide and why are they diversing and criminalism increasing? Main reason, he said, when people are not following dharma, the money that they possess is not the fruit of yajna. It is actually like bhog, it is not prasad. So the money that one earns, if it is spent in Lord's service with the devotion, then the result that comes is actually called as yajna. Correct, no? So the yajna money will make people happy. But money which is not born of yajna, there is one verse, nayam lokosti ayajnasya kutonya kuru sattama. You can read this, 4.29. Can read this. Nayam lokosti ayajnasya kutonya kuru sattama. He is asking, sarve pyete yajna vido yajna kshapita kalmashaha yajna shishtam mritabhujo yanti brahma sanatanam. Krishna is telling many, many yajnas. Dravya yajna, tapo yajna, yoga yajna, tatapare svadhyaya jnana yajnashchayateha samshrita vrataha. So many, many yajnas is explaining. Dravya yajna, tapo yajna, jnana yajna, yoga yajna, svadhyaya yajna. Then he is saying sarve pyete yajna vido. All these yajna vidis, he is saying yajna kshapita kalmasha. It will destroy your sinful reactions. See, when sinful reactions are destroyed, you feel happy. Because the sins are causing us. See, ignorance leads to sin. Sin leads to suffering. So if sins are destroyed, then sufferings are also destroyed. You will see that. Sarve pyete yajna vido yajna kshapita kalmashaha yajna shishta amrita bujo. And then the yajna produces amritam. He is saying amrita results. Yanti brahma sanatanam. You go towards spiritual world, he is saying. So two things happen. Sins are destroyed and the happiness is increased as you go towards spiritual sky. Here the same point here. Read it again. This one theme.
Happiness now and in future depends on following dharma.
You heard the saying, dharmo rakshati rakshataha. If you protect dharma, dharma will protect you. If you faithfully follow dharma, that dharmic following itself will make you happy. And also, Prabhupada explains in that verse, you know that famous verse? That was prasadi saru dukana mahani rasvayasya. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhaveta shantir ashantasya kutas. There Prabhupada, there also in another verse is this 3.11, I think. 3.11, there also bhunkte stena eva saha. So the word stena means if somebody takes from the nature, which is Krishna's nature, and enjoys like a thief. Prabhupada says, how can a thief live peacefully? He's asking. A thief is walking in the road, police is coming, can he be peaceful? So therefore, this point is important. Dharma means one doesn't remain a thief. One offers to Lord and takes only yajna, yajna fruit. Is this point clear? It's a very important point, this one. Happiness can only be there when one doesn't remain a thief. What is that verse? Bhunkte stena eva saha? No. Ishtan bhogan hi vodeva dasyante yajna bhavitaha tairdattana pradayebhyo yo bhunkte stena eva saha. How it begins? Ishtan bhogan hi vodevaya. So, people who are materialistic means they enjoy bhoga or they enjoy prasad. Bhog. Therefore they suffer. Bhog bhogo. Bhog se rog hota hai. Maharaj used to say, na? Bhog se. Therefore they suffer. Whereas one should take prasad. So the following dharma means accepting prasad. Correct? So happiness now in future. Okay, let's go to the next point. Go to the next. 16.
The sages continued, O great hero, for this reason you should not be the cause of spoiling the spiritual life of the general populace. If their spiritual life is spoiled because of your activities, you will certainly fall down from your opulent and royal position.
Yeah. Read the purport.
Formerly, in practically all parts of the world, there were monarchies. But gradually, as monarchy declined from the ideal life of religion to the godly sense gratification, monarchies all over the world were abolished. However, simply abolishing monarchy and replacing it with democracy is not sufficient unless the government men are religious and follow in the footsteps of great religious personalities.
Yeah. Actually, big empires like Roman Empire, British Empire, they all actually were there. And the monarchs eventually became sense gratifiers. They became loose in, just like Sugriva becomes intoxicated in Bhogavilas. Like that, the kings who accepted the positions, they became degenerated. I mean, they gradually become degraded. They stopped their religious activities. Initially, when they were occupying the post, they were probably, you know, coming from good backgrounds, good families. But when money came in hand, when position was given, and powers were given, eventually they became purposes. All over the world is saying it's actually something common which happens all over the world. What is the heading for this? There's no heading for that. 17th you go. Next one.
The saintly persons continued. When the king protects the citizens from the disturbances of mischievous ministers as well as from thieves and rogues, he can, by virtue of such pious activities, accept taxes given by his subjects. Thus, a pious king can certainly enjoy himself in this world as well as in the life after death.
See, there are two types of thieves. One outside thief, one inside thief. Outside thieves are the thieves and rogues who attack the public like highway robbers and loot them. And another type of thief is the king's ministers only, you say. And that Prabhupada explains in the purport, the middle, that formerly ministers were appointed by the king and were not elected. Consequently, if the king was not very pious or strict, the ministers would become thieves and rogues and exploit the innocent citizens. It is the king's duty to see that there is no increase of thieves and rogues, either in the government secretariat or in the departments of public affairs. If a king cannot give protection to the citizens from thieves and rogues, both in the government service and in public affairs, he has no right to exact taxes from them. See, one boy was studying in a school, and one teacher called up the father and said, you know, we are going to lay a penalty for your son. You have to pay 500 rupees fine, she said. The father asked, what is the matter? And the teacher said, your son has stolen 2-3 pencils from different children. So when the son came back in the evening, the father said, beta, why are you stealing pencil from other children? They have put a penalty, you have to pay 500 rupees. Don't you know, I bring so many pencils from my office. Father was telling. Yeah. You understand, huh? What did you understand from this? So he himself is a thief, and therefore son is also a thief. Correct, no? Yeah. Similarly, sometimes what would happen, the king himself is a corrupt fellow. So for example, if the ministers see that the king is bringing different women to enjoy himself, and he is himself taking the tax of the public for drinking and smoking. So king is in his majab, and what the ministers will do? They will simply follow the king. They will go to the people and say, exact the taxes. And they will all pocket. Everybody will pocket money. Because king is in his own room drinking, smoking and enjoying sense gratification. So which minister will have respect for such a king, tell me? You know? How can anyone respect? He is like an animal, huh? So the ministers would think, okay, such a good king that he is in his own world, so we will be in our world. Therefore, he is saying that the king should make sure that the tax of the public is not in between hijacked by the ministers. It should actually come to the treasury, and it should go for the welfare. Nowadays, this is one big problem nowadays. Many politicians are pocketing government money, which is not, 2 lakhs or 5 lakhs. Crores of rupees for some projects, 300 crores, 500 crores. One man was telling me, for this project they have allotted 600 crores, he said. I said, why so much is needed, I asked. He said, actually it is 200 only, but government knows very well that by the time money comes down, only 200 will remain. So it starts from 600. So much money goes here, there, so many people hijack. Huh? So many. And there are smaller and bigger people, everybody pockets according to their size also. Huh? Therefore, he is saying, so a king should not only save the public from the ordinary thieves, but also from ministers who pocket the government, I mean the pocket, the public's property. See, in the next para, you read it in 12th canto?
In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of these thieves and rogues in government service. As stated, Prajaste bhakshe ishyanti mlecha rajanya rupinaha. These proud mlechas, representing themselves as kings, will tyrannize their subjects, and their subjects, on the other hand, will cultivate the most vicious practices.
Yeah.
Thus, practicing evil habits and behaving foolishly, the subjects will be like their rulers.
Mm. So, therefore, Prabhupada says, below after 10, 12 lines, he is saying, the king was the supreme executive personality, and if he caught any ministers stealing like thieves and rogues, he would at once have them killed or dismissed from service. My Lord, see? What was the punishment you saw? You saw that sentence? If the king saw that if any ministers are stealing like thieves and rogues, because minister stealing and the thief stealing, is it same? No. Minister stealing is like a policeman stealing. Correct, na? He represents the government. So he cannot take the public money's tax and exploit it. Prabhupada says he would at once have them killed, he's saying. Like they will put them on a changa or something like that. Correct, na? Or dismissed from the service, or put behind the bars, as it is saying. As it was the duty of the king to kill thieves and rogues, it was similarly his duty to immediately kill dishonest ministers in government service. By such strict vigilance, the king could run the government very well, and the citizens would be happy to have such a king. Conclusion is that, unless the king is perfectly able to give protection to the citizens from rogues and thieves, he has no right to levy taxes from the citizens for his own sense gratification. However, if he gives all protection to citizens and levies taxes on them, he can live very happily and peacefully in this life, and at the end of life, he can live to back to Godhead. Yeah. So, what heading I gave? Duties of a king. Correct, no? Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Translation.
The king is...
Yasyarashtre pure chaiva Bhagavan yajna purushaha Vijyate svena dharmena Janair Varna Shraman Vitaihi.
The king is supposed to be pious, in whose state and cities the general populace strictly observes the system of 8 social orders of Varna and Ashrama, and where all citizens engage in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their particular occupations.
Yeah. Purport.
The state's duty and the citizen's duty are very nicely explained in this verse. The activities of the government head or king, as well as the activities of the citizens, should be so directed that ultimately everyone engages in the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king or the government head is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is therefore supposed to see that the things go on nicely and that the citizens are situated in the scientific social order comprised of 4 Varnas and 4 Ashramas. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that unless people are educated or situated in the scientific social order comprised of 4 Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra,
yeah,
and 4 Ashramas.
Prabhupada says that they should be educated and engaged about the Varna and Ashrama. This is one of the very, very vital duties of a king, to see that these things are good. For example, Brahmachari, they want to live. So king should ensure that there is a place for Brahmacharis, Ashramas, and Rishis, Munis, they are all staying. Similarly for the Grihasthas, they are all allotted lands and different parts of the country, and they all have occupational duties. Everybody according to their mentality. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Actually the king should have a board which will ensure that the Varnashrama is, you know, very perfectly done. Once people's minds are engaged, they won't create trouble to others. They will peacefully go on and on with their own service. And when you come down to next para, after the shloka is there, when you come below the next para, after 4 or 5 lines, in other words, the state or the government.
In the other words, the state or the government must not deviate from its duty by declaring that the state is a secular one, which has no interest in whether or not the people advanced in Varnashram Dharma. Today, people engaged in the government service and people who rule over the citizens have no respect for the Varnashram Dharma. They complacently feel that the state is secular. In such a government, no one can be happy. The people must follow the Varnashram Dharma and the king must see that they are following it.
Why is Prabhupada saying this? Because nowadays, when you go out and talk about Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, there is a thorough misunderstanding in the outside world. They are anti-Brahmana, anti-Brahminical culture. They exactly don't know who a Brahmana is. They think Brahmana means Brahmana by birth. So, and then Shudras were mistreated. They were treated like untouchables. So, outside there is so much of negativity about this. But you will see that, like I went to IIT Kharagpur, one devotee took me in a bike around the campus. So, I saw that, you know, there are independent, beautiful villa-type bungalows. I asked, what is this? They said, this is for the HODs. HODs stay here and professors. Then I went and to another place they took me. I saw that there were, you know, row houses. They said, professors stay here. He said, then I saw another housing colony neatly built. He said, yeah, lecturers stay here, he said. Then another colonies were the simpler colony, much simpler houses. They said, here the laboratory assistants and other people, they stay there. They said. And then another place I saw like chal kind of thing was there. You know chal? You know, small rooms, houses with very Mangalore tiles put, very simple it was looking. I asked, what is this? They said, this is for the workers, employees. So, then I was telling, see, here also you find they have categorized R&D department is Brahmana department. Admin building is Kshatriya department. The financial building is Vaishya department. And all the employees, workers, Shudra. So, are they not doing classification in the modern times? No. But they will not use these terms probably. But you will see any company you go, it has these four divisions. Correct, no? There is R&D. Is there any company without R&D? R&D means head, heady fellows. Those who use their head and research and give vision for the company. So, Prabhupada says that in this way the society should be categorized according to Varna and Ashrama. It's one of the foremost duties of a king. Shri Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.